Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Candidly with Coffee.
Buenos dias.
Happy Friday.
Yeah.
Favorite day of the week. And it's going to be sunny.
That's why it's a happy Friday.
Oh, thank God. We actually have some plans this weekend.
The weather changed.
We haven't had plans in a minute.
Next week, too.
I know.
No rain. Gone.
It's about time because it is California and it's May.
Yes. And we're spoiled and we get angry. We don't like rain in May in California.
No.
It's a big no.
We get very upset.
Yeah.
We are spoiled.
Yes.
So.
We pay for that price to live here.
I have coffee today. I have a Celsius. Let's try this. Arctic Vibe Sparkling Frozen Berry. Let's try. Ooh, that's pretty good. Can you tell how many grams of caffeine is in there? Milligrams?
If you move your hand, I could probably tell. I could try.
I don't know.
Green tea lift and strike.
I have 10%. No eyesight for small print. Sorry, guys.
It's in there, but it doesn't.
Okay, let me
say,
give it.
Can I sip it?
Yeah, go ahead. Try it.
Okay, I'm gonna give my honest opinion. If I don't like it,
I don't care what your opinion is. We're not sponsored.
No, it's good.
It's good though.
No, it's good. Want me to drink more?
No, I'm just trying to read it. I have to hold it far away in order to read it.
I know it's hard.
Anyways, it doesn't really say. I can't read anything. I don't think this has as much caffeine as like traditional drinks, but right off the bat, the can, okay, let's just go over this. It says accelerates metabolism, burns body fat. Come on.
Accelerates metabolism, burns body fat. Okay, let's break that down. What does it do to accelerate metabolism?
Well, it's because anything that increases your heart rate. And caffeine increases your heart rate.
Okay. Coffee does too.
When your heart rate goes up, you burn more calories.
Okay. Yeah.
And when you burn more calories, you could potentially burn fat if you're in a calorie deficit. But it's just so funny the way these claims.
The way they're worded.
If I drink a Celsius, I'm going to accelerate. No, not really.
Yes. No, you're right though. It's all in the wording on everything, on food labels, and they get you
marketing.
All fired up.
Marketing. Yes. And then you get like bamboozled.
Yes.
They call it like health halos too. Like things appear healthy. And so you gravitate towards them and you actually, it's a slippery slope because if something appears healthy, you will give yourself license to consume more of it. And then you end up actually consuming more calories than you would if you would have just gone for the thing that you wanted.
You're right.
So if, ooh, I want a cupcake.
I know what you mean
I'm
by
just going to have a little piece though because I know this is a lot of calories. Sprouted whole grain bran muffin. Oh, I'm going to have the whole damn thing because that's healthy, right? No, you just consumed 500 calorie muffin.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a mental thing. You think you can consume more because it's healthy. Just like the keto people. Even we're guilty in the beginning.
Yeah.
Overeating calories.
Because as long as it didn't
you
have
think,
carbs.
Oh, no carbs? I'm just going to burn body fat, lose weight. Actually, I was gaining weight because I was eating too much fat till you adjusted the
Then I adjusted
keto diet.
It.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Are you okay, Phoebs?
Then you adjusted it and then bam, I started dropping.
Yeah.
Like that. Whoa, I can see it in pictures.
Yeah, because I was like, wait, why isn't this working? And then I realized that you were drinking like an 800 calorie coffee.
Those power coffees?
Power coffee.
And it'd be gross. It'd be with coconut oil, heavy cream.
Butter.
I
was bamboozled too in the beginning of keto. I was fully bamboozled.
What do we always talk about? What's cool about history, like right now, what we're in, is we could debunk a lot of stuff we learned in life. You know what I mean? There's a lot of BS out there and people still fall
for
it.
Yeah, and things change over time. And if I'm going to post the video if you're on YouTube, but you sent me the funniest video, like a commercial from like the 50s that promoted smoking.
Yeah. And it showed doctors. It's healthy because it helps reduce stress.
So I'm going to insert.
Time out for many men of medicine usually means just long enough to enjoy a cigarette. And because they know what a pleasure it is to smoke a mild, good-tasting cigarette, they're particular about the brand they choose. In a repeated national survey, doctors in all branches of medicine, doctors in all parts of the country were asked, "What cigarette do you smoke, doctor?" Once again, the brand named most was Camel. Yes, according to this repeated nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Why not change to Camels for the next 30 days and see what a difference it makes in your smoking enjoyment? See how Camels agree with your throat. See how mild and good tasting a cigarette can be.
That right here.
Dude.
So you guys can see it. But it just goes to show you
how
information changes, things evolve. But that's what we believed in the 50s. And that's obviously that's evolved. And not that I want to get into religious conversations.
Yes.
But that's what you and I have open conversations about that a lot. It's
because I always ask you, you grew up Catholic.
It's like, yeah, the Bible says certain things, right? Yes. But it's like looking at a commercial from the 50s. Yes. It's like you look back and go, oh my gosh, it was so wrong.
Yes.
So you got to think, like, obviously the story gets retold and retold. It's like a game of telephone, right? So what really happened?
Exactly.
You have to be realistic.
It's like this. We could be at a table, six of us right here. I'm just throwing a number. I tell you a story about something that happened.
Right.
You tell the person that same story. I heard from this person, that person. By the time it gets back to around to me, it's a whole different
story.
It's
totally story. Changed. Totally There's changed. Tons of
And this is proven in modern history, like right now.
Right.
All the time. Happens all the time.
So it's just something to keep in mind.
Yes.
Just something to keep in mind.
I'm telling you not to believe in your religion, but keep in mind.
No, because
And the wording is pretty to me in these books. Fancy and pretty, and it sounds eloquent. And
let stories
Like they sound
explain.
Scholarly. I hate to say this, but we're the smartest society and civilization. Look where we're at and what we've accomplished. They're not weren't smarter than us back then. They're way behind in time. They're like cavemen. You know what I'm saying? We're way advanced. We're like aliens compared to humans of back then. If they were like to come now and see us, they'd be like, those are us. We have airplanes, jets, cars.
I know.
They'd be blown
Do you remember
away.
When we were kids and we watched the Jetsons?
I totally know where you're going
And
with
I'd
this.
Be like, oh my gosh. You can see them on the phone. Like
Remember
they had
that?
Those like phones where you could see their face. Hello, FaceTime.
FaceTime.
It's FaceTime.
Hello. Yes.
So crazy.
Flying saucers. Hello, rockets, SpaceX. We're on our way. It's almost
crazy.
Scary because we have to be careful not to let technology get too out of hand. Today I was listening to Joe Rogan. He's like, where's the end game in all this? Like we're always, the future, I think we're going to be part cyborg, part AI, and part human.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be around for that, but that's where it's going.
We never stop.
No.
Can't we just chill?
Yeah.
Can't we like take a pause and be like, you know what, you guys, let's just enjoy life. And
We're always chasing future.
Yeah, they're always chasing. They're humans, I guess.
Yeah. I'm guilty of it. I've done it. We've all done it. Yes, we have certain plans we want to do in the future, but we have to enjoy the present. I think that's what we skip out on is the present.
Yeah, I've really changed my thought process on that. I like thinking about the future, but I enjoy the present.
Yeah.
I try to stay in the moment. I'm enjoying today. And then I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to enjoy the next few days. But I don't try not to think too far into the future.
And I think that's where our troubles with our minds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guilty of that. I know. So it's going back into the past is the past, but sometimes we dwell on it. We shouldn't. It's behind us. There's nothing we can do to change
that. Like I have a picture in the bathroom and I love that it's in the bathroom because I always see it when I'm blow drying my hair and that's always when I'm deep in thought. And it says one day at a time.
Yeah.
It says one day at a time. And
yes,
I like that because that's what kind of helps you calm the mind.
Right.
You're,
the noise.
When you get stressed or anxious, it's because you're thinking of too much.
Yes.
What's to come.
Guilty.
The what's like,
I'm an overthinker.
What's on the horizon. And because I hate to break it to you, there's always sadness and grief and bad things on the horizon, just like there's good things and happiness and laughter on the horizon. There's
we always
both.
Say, when things are good, enjoy it to the fullest.
Yeah.
Because the bad is coming too. That's part of life. It's not always going to be up.
Yeah.
There's downs that come with it too.
And speaking of which, I don't know, I just thought of this because I got a little wave of nausea. I've been like a little nauseous lately.
Uh-oh.
I have been nauseous like the last few days. I don't know what, what's going on.
Huh.
But I'm going to the doctor. I have a doctor's appointment next week and I have a list already forming. I want a skin check because I want to make sure that I have no brewing issues with my moles. I don't have a lot of moles, but I have one on my ankle that looks a little weird. I want to get that looked at. And then I'm going to bring up the nausea. And I want my hormones checked because I'm fully in menopause now. Once you haven't had a period in 365 days, you are in menopause. So it could be that because I've been feeling lately, I've been feeling little hot flashes and then nausea. I wonder if it's related. And I want to talk to them about officially testing me for that toxicity I have to seafood and shrimp. And I want to figure out what exactly I need to avoid. And do I need an EpiPen?
Yeah, that's smart. It's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And listen, this is the advice you guys need to follow, people. Take care of yourselves, your health. It's the most important. Only you can do it. No one can do it for you. Go get yourselves checked. Don't wait till it's too late. Look, my friend, just last week had to bury his sister. You know, the story we told, you know, last Friday.
Yeah, the Kim Kardashian lookalike.
Yep.
So, there's an update on that, by the way. I wanted to bring it up. So, the woman was arrested in Florida. She is being extradited back to Burlingame. And it's finally out in the media. What we reported very early on was that it was a procedure that was butt injections performed in a hotel room in Burlingame.
Yes.
And I was listening to a doctor reporting on it, and they said what happens is these inexperienced injectors go too deep and they penetrate the vascular system, and they get into the, and they, if they put any injectable into the a vessel, it can cause cardiac arrest, pulmonary embolisms, things like that. And that's what happened with her. And that's a lot of times what it is specifically when it's these hotel room procedures is they go too deep.
I wonder what kind of needles they use to do these procedures with, or how they do it. I'm just curious.
What do you mean, what kind of needle?
Because if they go too deep and they know that's dangerous, what, why wouldn't they get the right size? I don't know. I don't know how
to
put this. Like men, for instance, men, we use syringes for steroids, but and press. So I wonder how, what kind of needles they use to go that
deep. But I don't know if it's the same with steroids, because it's, this is something that has mass. Yeah. Think about it. It's creating volume.
So it basically clogs, it just stops.
So it would clog up.
Yeah.
It would clog up a vessel.
Yeah.
It might travel for a while and then clog. Mm-hmm. I would think. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
No.
The problem is neither was the lady.
I know.
And
exactly.
And now she's being charged, by the way, with two things. Remember we had talked about it? I don't know. I think practicing medicine without a license and involuntary manslaughter. That's the charge.
Yeah. It can't be homicide. I didn't think so, because it's not, wasn't her intention to kill her.
Yeah. But it's involuntary manslaughter.
Wow.
Crazy.
There needs to be awareness, though. This needs to be talked about, and women need to be aware, like, the risks of this. Like, it's not worth your life. It's not worth your life. Just go to the gym and hit it hard. I promise you, years down the line, you'll be hella happy with your hard ass work. You can build a booty. Just take time.
I know, but if you're gonna get a procedure, just go do your research. Get it from a accredited, a board certified plastic surgeon. Yes. And then, of course, with any procedure, there's always risks. But I'm not telling people not to go get surgery and go to the gym. I hate when people say that, to be honest. It's a little bit of a trigger. Just go to the gym. It's not that easy all the time. And sometimes it's nice to have a little bit of help.
Some people are just better genetics.
But
that's good advice. Go to a licensed doctor. Don't do no black market procedures.
Yeah, don't do that, because that is scary. Because
we've known people personally that have done black market procedures before this.
I had... I knew people years ago who went and had horrible experiences in Mexico with liposuction and stuff. Very scary, very scary experiences, botched procedures done and things like that.
Oh,
years ago, before it was like a popular to go on.
You know what they would do for surgeries? Instead of having anesthesia or whatever, these fools would get buckets of ice, get bags of ice, and just numb the area that they're going to perform surgery on. That's insane.
By the way, there was a story I came across of a girl who, I think in Colombia, she was getting a nose job and she died. It was a young girl. And a lot of times these surgeries, in order to be cheaper or to save money, they don't put you under. They just give you a local, which is fine. But in facial surgery, it is very dangerous. And she had a nose job because
what's dangerous? Local or
a local?
That's dangerous.
Without going, you need to go under, because when you go under, you're intubated and your airway's protected and open.
Okay.
When you're under a local, this girl, she aspirated on blood because she was under a local and not general anesthesia. She wasn't intubated. And so they didn't have her airway. At least if you go into some sort of a respiratory arrest, and they have your intubated, you have airway, they can give you...
I'm glad you explained, because I never understood the difference. Because we live locally, right, for our colonoscopy?
Yes. Yeah. That's local. For the colonoscopy, that's local.
You're partially awake. I knocked out, of course.
So she aspirated and died during a nose job, which is considered a super safe procedure.
Yeah.
But just keep in mind, if you're going, even not out of the country, but in the U.S., there's a lot of surgeons that don't, they'll do general, because you save a couple $1,000s by not having an anesthesiologist present.
Yes.
But it's okay for some procedures, but not for facial procedures because of the blood.
So this is what you got to ask yourself. How much is your life worth to you? If you have to spend $2,000-$3,000 more, is you want to gamble with that, or you want to just take the safe road and pay that? So that's what these ladies have to ask themselves.
Yeah, because you have an anesthesiologist there. They're monitoring
the
everything or whatever.
Yes.
And here's something else. Did you ever know why they tell you not to eat?
No. I just thought maybe like they don't want you puking when you're under, or maybe
yeah,
the stuff
could cause,
or maybe like it, that stuff will make you sick.
It could cause you to, yeah, it could cause
you could
death.
Choke on your own food. Yes. That's what I assumed. Yes. I don't know if I was right. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
You can choke
I
on
didn't
your
know.
Own food. It can come up.
That's what I was
and
thought.
And you can choke on your own food. You need to have an empty stomach. Your gastrointestinal needs to be empty.
Yeah.
Because, so you don't lie. Because an anesthesiologist came on TikTok and was saying a lot of people, they'll be like, oh shit. And they'll lie saying, oh, I didn't eat. And then it could cause problems. Don't, that could be your life. Do not lie.
I played with fire with my leg surgery. When they cut me open the first time, I ate the night before and the day of, but it was a Murray surgery. Doc said, we can't wait.
Yeah. With
I was scared.
I think
I
that
like,
if they know, then they know to be a little more cautious or to look for to look for or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, you can't mess around.
Man,
it's just
no.
You, I thought, I didn't know it was that. I didn't know it was because you could vomit or choke on, because it can come up what's in your stomach. I thought it was because then they don't know how much to give you based because you have food in your system. I thought that it affected like how much their calculations.
Gotcha.
But that's not it. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought that was very.
Because think about this also. Like I got put under 4 times in a month, which is way too much. Mm-hmm. That's actually dangerous. I was nervous in the last one for my bicep surgery. And after that came out of that, I felt disgusted, nauseous the whole day. I didn't want to eat. That was the worst I've ever felt. The anesthesia just killed my appetite for the whole day.
A lot of people have bad effects from that. And did you know that anesthesia, like when you go under, it's especially
dangerous.
Debilitating for elderly. It causes a little like psychosis sometimes, or issues, dementia. It actually accelerates dementia and things like that by being put under. So you want to avoid it if you can as you get older. And then there are certain vitamins and things you'll want to like take. I think like B vitamins and things after to repair the brain.
Yeah.
Vitamin D and B vitamins.
You're only supposed to get put under once in a blue moon. I did it
4
times in a month.
I know that my dad, oh God, it was so scary when he had his surgery. It took him so long. I have videos of when he came out. It took him so long to get his wits about him. Like 24 hours. He was completely out of it. For several hours after he woke up, it freaking broke my heart because he thought my mom was still alive.
Damn.
And I had to retell him.
It messed his memory up a little bit.
Yes. He's all, what did your, I survived. Did you tell your mother I'm okay? What does your mom say? What did your mom think?
Whoa.
And I'm like, oh my God, I have to tell my dad all over again that my mom died.
Man.
And I did have to tell him. And it was sad because.
Did he have to relive it like it was fresh?
I was videoing because I wanted to send a video to my siblings like, hey, dad's okay. He came out of it. So I have it on video, and then I go, Dad, and I stop the video because he goes, did you tell your mother? Like, did your mother know I'm okay? And I was like, Dad. And I stopped the video. And then I continued telling him, I'm like, Dad, mom died.
Damn.
And he's, what? Oh, it broke my heart.
Dude, to forget and have to relive that, like, no, almost forgot about or didn't know.
Wow. Like, I was like, oh my God. Then I started to think, is he got permanent amnesia? And he was agitated and just in a weird headspace after. And it took him, like I said, the first 24 hours was very hard. It was very difficult.
Remember,
he had a hard time.
Remember Vicky, our friend who's a nurse, she said they usually don't like putting older people under. It's very rare because it's dangerous for them.
Yeah, you have to have a trade-off. His was emergency surgery. He didn't go.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to make it. He
was
losing blood very rapidly.
It was rolling the dice on this one.
And so it was like we had to. It was life-saving surgery. And look, we're coming up on the year anniversary. So it was worth it.
Crazy.
It was worth it. And my dad, for those of you who don't know, he has stage 4 colon cancer. And he opted not to do chemo. He chose not to do chemotherapy. And they gave him 6 to 9 months to live. And we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
That was the right choice for him.
Yes.
Because
chemo would have ended him quicker.
Yeah, because he's 83 now.
Yeah.
For sure, I do not believe he would have survived the process of the chemotherapy.
It's painful.
It's just a lot. It really takes you down
cells.
To nothing.
Yeah.
And he made a good decision for him because he doesn't do well with pain. He doesn't do well with feeling sick. He doesn't do well at all. And I think he would have lost his will to live. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like shit, like take me out of here. And he would have given up. I don't think he'd be alive today. He made a good decision for him. And we supported whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And
good call.
He's still alive.
Yeah, still you know? Here.
He was all excited because I think sometimes he gets it in his head that he's a burden. And so we must be looking forward to when he's gone. So especially me, because I take care of him most of the time, like that it must be a lot of work, that I'm waiting for it to not be a lot of work. And that's obviously not true. I want him to live as long as possible. I told him, Dad, I will do this for 20 years if it means that you're going to be here. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't listen when you say that. But he latched on to something I told him the other day. I said, Dad, the summer's coming. I said, should I get you some shorts for the summer? Because it's going to be hot. I didn't think anything of it. And he is, I think I have some, but maybe get me a pair too. Mm. And the next day, just goes to show how this man stews on things. The next day he said, I was thinking last night, he goes, you think I'm going to live until the summer? I was like, what? He's because you want to buy me shorts. That means you think I'm going to live until the summer. I said, yeah, Dad, I do.
Of course.
And he was like so happy because I think he felt like because he caught that I said that.
Yeah.
He found that I truly feel that way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I do. Like you have to think that. I think right now we just do like.
You got to understand what's tough, especially for men. This is the hard part is men, we love to take care of ourselves. We don't like to talk about our mental health and this and that. We like to take it all on the shoulders. And as you get older, your father was the head of your family.
Right.
He's the man, took care, he's always handled things. And now once in his life, he has to get taken care of. And it's different. It's hard for a man. Mm-hmm. Your mother took care of him and she's no longer here. That's his wife. But now his kids have to take care of him.
Yeah. My mom took really good care of him.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, it's interesting because we had this discussion the other day too about that. And I said, I'm taking care of you. And it's like, you have to, I'm showing my kids, like, this is what you do for your parents.
That's it.
And it's like a pay it forward kind of thing. It keeps going, right? This is what they're seeing, like, this is how you do it. Your parents take care of you and your babies. And then when they need you, you take care of them.
Yeah. The tables are always going to turn.
And so I'm like, I'm taking care of you, but selfishly, I'm teaching my kids how to take care of me. You teach by example, right?
Yeah, it's true.
So anyways, I do mean that though. I would do it forever if it meant he'd be here forever.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Life, man.
All right. Hot coffee topic. There's a woman out of Utah who wrote a book on how to handle grief and like how to help your kids deal with grief. Because she lost her husband suddenly and she has 3 young kids. And now she's arrested for his murder. Can you believe the audacity of this woman?
This lady.
You freaking wrote a book and you killed him?
Yeah.
She poisoned him with fentanyl.
Oh, my God.
They found on her text messages that she had been communicating with a dealer and he gave her something and she tried it and it didn't work. It just made him violently ill. And then she went back to the dealer and she goes, I need the Michael Jackson stuff. And he gave her fentanyl.
Damn.
And she put it in, made him a cocktail, put it in his drink. And then she said that she went and slept with her boys that night because like they're little. So she went and was in their room. And by the time she went back to her bedroom, he was cold and dead. And that she didn't. Yeah. And so.
Wow. It was almost a perfect murder, though.
Yeah. Scary, right?
Yeah, because. I don't know. He could have been an addict undercover and she didn't know. She could have said, I didn't know he was doing that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Played dumb.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, because it could have been an accidental overdose. But I think that the funny thing is he suspected something and he told somebody that if something happens to me, look at my wife, because they were on a trip or something and he was violently ill after she made him something and he started to suspect something.
Like, yeah. All of a sudden. That's like, yeah, me, I have
he goes,
an
I think
gut.
She might be after the money. So he changed either his trust or the life insurance beneficiary.
Dude.
He changed it.
He was onto something.
And she thought it was her, but he changed it before he died.
Hey, kudos to you, my man. That was slick.
Yeah.
He had a good game.
Sad.
He had good intuitions. Too bad he didn't catch her doing that. What he should have done, that happened to another woman too, but they filmed it. The husband suspected, that he was getting poisoned by his wife. Mm-hmm. He put a camera, and sure enough, she was putting stuff in his soup or something. It was on camera. She got busted. I don't remember where I saw
that. You know what I was thinking? And this is so morbid, but being in the hospice experience, I bet you there is a very high rate of murder-ish type behavior.
Yes.
With elderly.
Accelerated deaths, as I call it. They're going to die, yes, but you're accelerating it.
Because if they're in hospice, they're not going to, unless there's some, for whatever reason, the hospice team is suspicious, there's not going to be an autopsy.
No, you're right.
That's scary. Because, you know, when money's involved and you've got a crotchety old parent that maybe wasn't the best parent to you or whatever, now you're taking care of them, you might like.
And they're leaving you a huge scary. Something.
And
huge,
that's
lot of
why
money.
People get scared. Like, they get scared, the elderly.
They do. They get abused a lot.
They do.
They get hit, beat on. That's sad. You shouldn't treat them like that. That's somebody's parents, man. Somebody brought these people. They brought you into the world.
But I started thinking that, wow, I bet you there's a lot of this that goes on. Or
yes.
The other thing
is
because you have access to medications when you're caregiving for an elderly. What about addicts and stuff? They probably like gravitate towards their elderly parents or elderly people to get their fixes like on medications.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Morphine, Xanax, like those are the types of medications that are administered in hospice and you have access to these medications. It's scary.
It is. It's crazy. You just can't, sometimes you can't even trust your own kids.
No, especially when money's involved.
Yes.
People are.
All the time. Like you said, that guy was suspecting his wife of something, so he moved.
He switched his.
He made some changes. That was smart. He probably put everything in his kids' name, so they probably get a huge chunk of change at 18. You know, he probably set them up. Smart and got it out of her name.
Yeah.
She ain't gonna
get
a piece.
I think he left it. He ended up like putting his brother or something like that as the beneficiary,
smart.
Something like that.
Yep.
But
Shango
crazy.
Nada.
All right, moving on. Do you remember that case, the Natalie Holloway case back in 2005? The girl that went on a trip and went missing into Aruba. I followed it really closely back then.
We saw a documentary on it, yes.
That Vandersloot guy that ended up, he actually is serving 28 years right now in Peru for killing somebody else 5 years later.
Yes.
He's being extradited, even though he's mid-sentence in a Peruvian prison. He's being extradited to the USA to stand trial for some crimes related to Natalie Holloway. Not murder, because they never discovered her body. They never found her body, but for other charges. And the Peruvian government agreed to extradite him so he could stand trial and have to answer to some of those crimes. I thought that was crazy.
Ooh, he's going to have to do time here.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Maybe. There's no statute of limitations on murder and stuff like
no,
that.
No, negative, no.
Because it's been 18 years.
I know.
That's crazy.
But you have to remember, look where Aruba's located geographically. There's a lot of oceans and marsh, and he probably was smart. Probably put it somewhere where like the wildlife can get to it.
No, yeah.
Remember, it had like weird, like they couldn't get through certain areas, like marshes. It was weird. Weird area.
Yeah, and if you don't find it before like total decomp happens and stuff like that.
Bodies decompose fast, especially out in the wild like that.
Crazy.
Sad. It's dangerous traveling international.
It is. I would be scared.
Careful who you meet.
Alyssa's about to go on an international trip. She's with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
But I'm a little scared about it.
I know. I feel like being the psycho dad and follow her just to make sure she's okay as a bodyguard.
I want to make sure she's got her location on. I need to know her hotel information. I want her to check in every 12 hours.
Yeah.
Just give me a check in because the time difference is going to be so crazy.
Bali, Indonesia, she's going to?
Yeah. I think it's pretty safe there, though. And
it
she's
is.
Staying at a nice resort.
No, it is.
She's with her boyfriend. Have amazing time there.
I just always say this. Before you go anywhere like that, make sure you currently check like the climate over there. Make sure there's not like no civil wars or a coup going on or something crazy. Because sometimes.
What's a coup?
A coup is like a government. You overtake the government. You throw the government. Or like a general will get overzealous, be like, I'm going to take out this president. Or I'm going to take over the government. And they use the military.
Mm.
Basically what we've done, the USA, many times over. Take out the government, plan our own in. But anyways, you just got to be careful.
You always got to be careful when you leave the country.
Look what happened
regardless.
To a friend of ours over there. He was wearing a fancy watch. Thought he was cool.
Oh,
hanging out
where
with locals.
Was he?
Was it Cambodia or Laos?
Yeah, I think he was in Cambodia.
Or Laos, hanging out,
and he
drinking.
He got stabbed, right?
Got stabbed.
He almost died.
Yes. They had to fly him to a hospital in Thailand for a watch. He was over there flashing an expensive watch. Bro, no. Those people are poor,
you
man.
You don't realize.
No way. Crazy? I don't care if you're American.
Yeah, when you're out of the country, you have to kind of...
You got to understand.
You can't be flash.
Poor
out
there.
Can't be flashy.
They look at it like, I got to feed my family. I'm going to do what it takes.
Like when we went to Colombia, we were warned... There's a lot of people on the little motorbikes.
Yes.
And we were warned, be very careful because they ride up right next to you and they'll snatch your purse. They'll snatch you when you're walking the street.
Or the passenger on the back of the motorcycle, jump on, put a gun in your head and take everything you have.
Yeah, just take everything.
Yeah. You just got to be careful when you're in other places. Low key. Just blend in as best as you can.
Yeah. Leave your expensive jewelry at home.
Yeah. There's no need to go over there and floss on them people. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Nope. All right. Moving on. Really quick. There was a premiere of Real Housewives of Atlanta. Last night we were watching it. And I just want to touch on this because I thought it was funny. And I experienced it when I started dating my divorce. You and I watched a little bit of... You watched it with me. Real Housewives of Atlanta.
One of the characters...
She's dating this new guy, and he's like a player kind of guy or whatever. Like, he's got a reputation for sure. But there's this drama in the cast because they're like, hey, rumor has it, he's also dating somebody else in Atlanta. And there's all this drama that he also DM'd one of the other cast members, whatever. But when Sheree is asked about it, she confirms they're dating. They're not in a relationship.
They're not exclusive in a relationship.
Doesn't dating mean you are dating, like you, as in you may be dating multiple people?
Yeah. When I was single for 4 years, that's what I called it, dating.
Dating.
I didn't commit to that one person.
Meaning that you are free
to do,
to date other people.
What the F I want.
Right? Because I dated other people. In all reality, we're honest with each other. Yep. We happen to date for a long time, longer than most people date before they...
That's
in a
true.
Relationship.
Yeah, we did.
We dated for almost 6 months.
That's a long time.
And we spent a lot of time together. So it seemed like maybe we were in a relationship, but we were not official until it was like 6 months.
Yeah.
So in that time, dating means you are dating. You're potentially talking to other people. You are going out on dates with other people. You are dating.
You're taking the cars for a test drive? During the day?
Dating. Yeah. That's what dating is.
Of course. So,
like, I was single for the first time.
People make it a big deal here, man.
In a lot of years. I'm like, okay, so because then there's the confusion of, okay, we're not going to be in a relationship, but can we be exclusive? Isn't it the same fucking thing? What is the difference between being exclusive and being in a relationship?
Because some people, exclusive means, okay, I'm exclusive, but I'm still dating. I don't know.
No, but what does that mean?
Exclusive?
Yeah, if you...
committed to that person.
That means you're in a relationship. There's no difference between exclusive and a relationship.
It's just wording.
It's wording. It's dumb.
It's wording.
I remember when
Will you be my girl? It was when we were little kids. When you ask somebody out to be your girlfriend, will you be my girl? Will you go out with me?
Yeah, and until you make the commitment, you're like, okay, we're in a relationship. That's
when
adults.
You cut we both agree.
Everybody else out from that point on. Up until that point, fair game. That's my opinion. I thought that's what dating was. I remember I was married for a long time, so I didn't know how to date really. I thought that's what dating meant. And I remember going to my sister and being like, I'm confused. Doesn't dating mean I can date multiple people? And she goes, yeah. And I said, but some guys don't think that. I remember I went on a date with someone. Uh-huh. He's, I know we're not in a relationship, but I just want to let you know I'm only dating you. And I was like,
pause, fellas, my single homies, don't ever say that bullshit. That is dumb.
You just gave up
all your insecure cards on the table.
I just felt so uncomfortable because I couldn't, with a clear conscience, say the same thing.
Yeah.
I just was like, and he said it face to face. It wasn't like a text. We were eating. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like so uncomfortable. And I like pulled back after that. So I was like, okay, this is too...
He just shot himself in the foot, dude.
Yeah.
Like, bro, like, I've heard that too. Trust me. Yeah, okay.
I just think
I'm not. I'm just telling you right now, I'm not. I'm free as a bird.
That's what I thought. Yes. Are you respectful? Do I go to you? Do you go to me and go, yeah, I can't go out with you because I'm going out on another date tomorrow, whatever.
Course.
No, you're just coy about it.
Yeah.
Respectful.
Yeah.
But it's the unspoken, what's up? We're not in a relationship. So yeah, like.
We need to get a poll how people feel. Like, What do you guys think?
Now, I think here's the thing. I think with us, the difference with us is that most people absolutely do not casually date for 6 months. That was a very long time. But it's because we met and started dating very soon after I separated.
Yeah.
So I wanted some time. And so I just, we just stretched it out. And you knew I probably needed some time. And yeah,
I wasn't going to press you. I'm going to be truthful to you. First started hanging out with you, going out and all that. I was having fun. But I also was, I protected myself not to let myself get too close to you because I enjoyed your company. Because like, I ain't stupid. You're coming out of divorce. Yeah. I know when I came out of my breakup, no one was going to.
You thought I was going to be on a 4-year bender?
I didn't know. But listen, true. You're free. You're single. You're married for how many years? Who am I to come and just take that away from you?
The thing that's funny is I wanted to have a, I wanted to have a single summer. And I didn't make it to summer. But I wanted to have a single summer.
Yeah.
And so.
And that's okay. I can't blame you for that. I didn't want to settle down either after I broke up my ex. I was like, hell, and I'm free. I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this.
And I did. And like, I remember my friends were like, I thought you were going to have a single summer. I'm like, well, you can't plan for relationships and things like that. But we pushed it as far as we could in terms of just dating because it was a long time to be just dating.
Yeah.
But I would like to know your opinions in the comments on YouTube.
Yeah.
Is there, because, but most people though, I would say they'll date for maybe a month or two and then enter into a relationship.
By month three. Yeah. For some reason or another.
Did you get that? Like I said, I explained in my situation. Yes, I did get, when I would go on a date with someone, they automatically just, I felt like the pressure, like they thought, oh, okay, we're dating now, just you and I, to see if it works and there's nobody else. I felt that feeling. And then that one person told me, but did you get that with people? I know I never did that to you personally.
No, nah.
Never. We had one conversation and that was the conversation where we decided to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
But did you get that from other people you were dating? Kind of, hey, so is it just me? Did they ask you questions? Are you dating anybody else? I would never ask that question, by the way.
I'm sure I got it. I can't remember off the top of my head who, but yeah.
I'm not asking you to share who it was. But
yeah, for sure. Where are we at? That one.
Where are we at? We're hated nowhere. Where are we at? What do you mean, where are we at?
Yeah, where are we at?
What would you say?
Nowhere. We're dating. That's where we're at. I didn't commit and pretend to be relationships. Hell no. Mm-mm, I didn't want to be.
Yeah.
I can't say I didn't want to be. It's just that whatever reason, I wasn't ready at the time to be in a relationship. Or that person wasn't the one for me that I want to settle down with. But I did want to enjoy myself when I was single.
Yeah. I just think it's funny because I know that like some, you were in that seat. Me, not so much. I dated people that are completely out of the, they were not anywhere in the scene.
Yes.
But you were in the mix of everything. People thought they felt some type of way like, oh, she's dating him, but she doesn't know he's dating other people, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, they maybe thought they had the upper hand or like they had cheese may or juice or whatever. And I was like, we're not in a relationship. So I'm assuming he is dating other people, as am I. So you don't have great gossip like you think you do. I do feel like it was a little bit like that because then I would hear like the rumblings and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, we're dating.
My douchey Facebook profile pic with the two girls at the pool party. Remember that? They were calling me out on that. Listen, I was enjoying my life. I was single. You know what I'm saying? This is some hater shit. Who cares? You're insecure? Why are you worried about me? I'm not here to please the world.
Things like that. Even when we got together, I didn't. Are you going to update your Facebook status? Change your profile picture? That's so dumb.
Babe, you have to put in a relationship immediately.
We are not.
No, we're anti.
18 years old.
Yeah, no.
Okay? We were in our 30s.
Yeah, we're not insecure little kids.
That is so dumb. Anyways. Let me know what you guys think. Definitely interested in that. Okay, let's talk about, I want to bust a few myths because I love busting myths based on just different comments. Ooh, I thought that.
Yes.
Can we talk about the myth that I gain weight, I'm gaining weight or I'm not losing because I'm eating too little? Can we just bust that right here? Can you please-
How many times I've heard that?
Not believe that. It is absolutely not true.
Somebody went on Joe Rogan's podcast, said the same thing. He looked dumbfounded, like, what?
Okay. Yeah.
He knew it was bullshit.
You cannot gain weight if you are eating too little. It's actually impossible.
It's called the law of thermodynamics.
So it's perception that you feel, you think you are eating too little, but you are not. You're not in starvation mode. There is no such thing. Starvation mode means you would be skin and bones.
Yes.
Starvation mode means that you're eating too little.
Go to poor countries and see how those people look.
You some will, starving your body death. Will use its storage.
Every ounce of body fat.
And
to
you
keep
will
alive.
Be lean and you will see.
Yes.
Eventually you'll see your muscles. And then as you get even leaner, you'll start to use muscle tissue and you'll yep. just be bone and skin, yes. basically.
And that's what happened to anorexic people who have that eating disorder.
Yes. Like for someone, knock on wood, like a cancer patient. At an end of life when they're not unable to eat, what happens? You see them wither away. Do you yes. ever see
yes.
someone who's ill who is stops eating, stop losing weight? Do you see them stop losing weight or gain weight?
No.
No. So why You're is right. it so hard for people to believe that?
You're super right.
Like
my mom
when
too.
She was ill,
she
couldn't eat. The last 6 months of her life, she was not eating. She lost so much weight. I remember I hugged her in the hospital. I felt all her spine. I felt her spine, all her ribs.
Damn.
If you eat too little, you do not stop. You don't gain weight. So can we stop believing that?
Yes.
Please.
I know what people, you know what it is? People make something up like bro signs. They spew it out to the world and then people run with it. What do you always say? Like for you, you're menopause, correct?
Yes, menopause.
My hormones. I can't lose weight. My hormones. You're living proof at 47. You could be in shape and lose weight
yeah.
or trim down.
Or you
be
can
lean.
Be in menopause and not gain weight because I'm
go.
Monitoring
See?
My macros. I'm exercising. I'm in
She's moving.
Full menopause. I'm having menopausal symptoms. I am having hot flashes. My dad was laughing at me because I was having a hot flash at his house
the other day.
Like,
day
it's just like your mother. You're having hot. My dad recognized it.
He did?
So I was like, Dad, it's so hot in here. He goes, it's not hot. My upper lip was sweating.
Yeah, you said that the other day in the house. I had to turn the AC on for you. It
yes,
was a little warm, but it wasn't
hot. I'm having
hot
flashes for sure. I'm in the throes of it, but my body is not affected because I'm on top of it.
See.
If I hadn't been monitoring macros and things like that, yes, I'd be in probably a period of weight gain. And
you'd blame it on your menopause.
Yeah, but no.
See, there you go.
Okay, next one, and this is a funny one, because I hear this all the time.
Let's go. Bring it.
That I'm gaining weight because muscle weighs more than fat.
Whoa, I've heard that.
Guess what, guys? A pound of muscle is the same weight as a pound of fat. A pound is a pound.
A pound is a pound.
Muscle does not weigh more than fat. I don't know what people mean when they're saying that.
Muscle is more dense.
It's more dense and actually yes. occupies less space.
Yes.
Less space. So like a pound of muscle is smaller and it's going to occupy like less space on your arm than a pound of fat would.
Yeah, like this would be a pound of muscle and your phone would be, put your phone in there.
That a pound
would
of be fat.
A pound of fat. And you can see comparisons.
Yeah. Can we stop saying that?
Yeah.
If you have a pound of feathers might take up this entire table.
Yes.
And you might have a 1 pound of rocks. It might be two little rocks.
That's it.
It's going to take up less space. But guess what? They are equivalent in weight.
Yes.
A pound of feathers weighs the same as a pound of rocks.
Yep.
So that needs to go away.
Yeah. That's a dumb one. Again. This is people who spew things out into the world and mm-hmm. they run with it. And it
right.
goes on for years and years till somebody
right.
busts these myths.
Someone
down.
Just
like, yeah.
repeats it and repeats it. And then it's
And because
just...
they've heard it so many times, they believe it to be true because
yes.
it's been ingrained in their brain.
Yeah.
So no, y'all are wrong on that one.
Yep. Can we stop saying our metabolism is slow?
That's another one.
Oh, I have a slow metabolism. How do yes. you know?
Yeah. Did you measure it? What'd
yeah.
you do, bro science?
How do you know your metabolism is slow? Most people do not have a slow metabolism unless you have a diagnosed condition that's usually related to your thyroid, hypothyroidism. Your metabolism is not slow.
Yeah.
Stop saying your metabolism is slow or broken. Guess what? All of these people that are taking Ozempic at one time said, I have a slow metabolism. Why are they suddenly losing weight on Ozempic? If they had a slow metabolism, Ozempic wouldn't help them.
So why are they losing weight, babe?
Because they're eating less.
There you have it.
Ozempic has no effect on your metabolism.
See, people see this is the bro science, but people believe that it does. Like it's this miracle drug. No, dude, it's causing you not to eat. It's actually causing you to hate food for some people.
Yeah.
Which is bad.
It makes it difficult to eat the things that you need to eat. And I feel like people are not, they're throwing it out the window, all the things that they know, because when you are disgusted or when you're not wanting to eat, do you want to eat a piece of protein? No. So what happens is you're going to lose weight and it's not going to be the weight you want to lose. You're going to do a lot of muscle wasting.
Yep.
And then, yes, will that affect your metabolism? Absolutely. It will, because the less muscle you have, the slower your metabolism is.
This is going to mess a lot of people up. It's going to be a good thing. I get it, especially for diabetics who need to lose the weight and for type 2.
It's a great thing for obese people, but yes, it's not a good way to lose vanity weight.
No, like celebrities and stuff are doing? No.
Yeah, it's not a good solution for vanity weight because it'll just come back. They're going to alter their body composition. They're not, the few clients I have that are on they're on Ozempic.
Yeah.
They have a really hard time getting their eating protein. They're like, I don't even want to look at protein.
Damn.
Like, see? I don't want to eat protein. And if they don't eat protein, when you're eating very low calories, your body's going to, it's called muscle wasting. You're gonna lose muscle.
Yep.
But your metabolism isn't broken. It's funny because I'm having a lot of clients that I've worked with over the years. A lot of my clients I've worked with now for years, off and on. They leave and come back, but I'll put them on macros and some of them will struggle. And like, I don't know. It must be my metabolism. I'm doing everything right. Some of those people, I have three different clients right now on semaglutide, Ozempic type product, and they're losing weight on it. And I'm like, see, do you realize now that you were overeating?
Yep.
Because if now you are losing weight, you were overeating before. There's not some mysterious problem with your metabolism. So if anything, it is like turning on the light for some people. Like, you're right. So
can't people realize that though? They're so in denial. They blame 100 other things except themselves. That's what's annoying. Yeah. Like, dude, it's you. Stop throwing aimless calories in your mouth, overeating.
You have to. It is.
Stop
it really
lying
is.
Yourself. I know. Again, when I do it, I know. I'm only messing myself up when I'm aimlessly snacking. You can't just do that.
All right. So another one. Carbs do not cause fat gain any more than protein, than fats.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's equivalent. Carbs do not lead to more fat gain. It is equivalent across the board with protein, fat. It doesn't matter. If I went on an all-carb diet, but was in a deficit, I would lose weight. I could eat French fries only, a French fry only diet. I could eat rice only.
Yeah.
But if I ate enough, I mean, if I ate in a deficit, I would lose weight. Think about this. Survivor. Does anybody ever come off of Survivor gained weight? All they eat on Survivor is rice for 39 days or however many days it is.
And they lose a lot of weight.
And they lose a ton of weight. Yeah. All they eat is carbs on Survivor. They're on a carb-only diet. They're losing weight. Can we stop the nonsense that carbs causes fat gain? It does not. It literally does not. Think about it. Use your logical brain. Have you ever seen someone come off Survivor and not have lost weight?
True. You're right. They get so lean.
They get so skinny.
You could tell they lose body mass tissue, too.
Yeah, because they're not eating protein.
Yeah. Yeah, they look. Some of them look sick.
Yeah, like, they do. They come off like skin and they're bones. Messed up.
Yeah.
But yes, can we got to stop that. The reason why it gets the bad name is carbohydrates, think hydrate, right? Carbohydrate, it causes you to hold on to water.
Yes.
And so you see the scale bounce around more when you eat more carbs, and people attribute that to like weight gain. But weight gain is not the same as fat gain.
Two different things. For example, when we were doing the keto, and I did get hella lean on it, I was also flat. Again, because there was no carbohydrates in the diet. Had no water.
There was no glycogen storage. Glycogen is stored in your muscles, right? There was no glycogen to fill you up and make you look fit and lean and hard.
Yeah. It got me lean and light, but it got me flat.
I was flat too. I was lean. I was lean for sure because I was in a calorie deficit the same. I was lean, but I was flat. Now I feel more filled out, more muscular, more toned, more fit.
Got out creatine.
Oh, I love the creatine. And another a myth about creatine actually is that creatine makes you hold water. It does, but not the water that you think. It doesn't hold water in your fat cells. when you hold water in your fat cells, you feel squishy, you feel bloated.
Yeah.
Creatine pulls its intramuscular hydration. So yep. It makes you feel filled out. It makes you, your arms feel toned. It makes you feel
yes.
fit.
Yeah.
And creatine pure rebuild from 1UP Nutrition, highly recommend.
Yep.
I've definitely noticed a huge change. I've PR'd quite a few different exercises.
Isn't that crazy? You were right. I've noticed my strength gains go up too.
Yeah, and I love it. It like feels good. Like I'm yeah. here. Like I feel
yeah. Good. Yeah. That's almost addicting. Like, all right, let's keep pushing.
Okay. Another one. Eating healthy doesn't cause weight loss unless you're in a deficit. So eating healthy, great. Whatever you perceive to be healthy, good yeah, for you. Exactly. But unless you are eating the right volume, eating healthy is not enough for weight loss.
Nope.
A lot of people think, I eat healthy and I exercise, but I don't understand. I can't lose weight. You need to eat less healthy foods.
Yeah.
Less than you are currently eating. Because if you're not losing, it means the volume that you're currently eating is too much
yeah.
for you.
I wonder what people's perception of healthy is. If we took a poll or a questionnaire, I wonder what people would think, like what the answers would
the
be.
The perception probably blown is probably away. Totally off.
Yeah.
It's probably not
good. We'll probably
good.
Be like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. If you say so.
Because there's so much misinformation. It's like a cesspool.
I know.
Of misinformation out there.
Yes. Clickbait, false, fake news. Stay away from all that, you guys. Be careful who you follow your advice from. People talk and don't even have the like background to back it up. They just run their mouth. That's what's crazy. People spew information because they heard something. They run with it and they spew it out there. Okay, are you a trainer? Are you certified? Are you a doctor? What are you? Where'd you get this information? Did you research it? Do your homework before you spew things out or assume things.
I know. I thought that blah, blah, blah. Insert myth here.
Insert myth.
I heard that. Insert heard that. Myth here. I'm like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, you guys? There was a time where people had an excuse to believe the bullshit.
Yes.
I had an excuse because back in my day when I was trying to figure out how to lose weight, my resource was diets on the back of Woman's Day magazine. Okay, I didn't have the internet.
Yeah. That's what's even more impressive.
People nowadays, you have the internet. You can do some research. You can
You can YouTube people. Yeah. Watch their journey. Talk about
people
it.
People that have credentials. Yes. That have evidence to support what they're saying.
Yes.
So Andrew to Huberman. Believe like the absolutely ridiculous things is like shame on you a little bit.
It is.
Like, shame on you. Because if you're going to believe it and repeat it.
Spew it
then
out
shame
there.
On you because you're repeating misinformation that you have not done your due diligence on.
Yep.
Don't repeat it. Don't tell your friend like, oh, I thought that you're not supposed to eat that because XYZ when you don't know for sure. So now you've scared your friend into thinking she can't eat that. Like someone said, oh, like I thought you're not supposed to eat protein bars. Why? Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Who said you can't eat protein bars? Nobody questions it if someone eats candy bars all the time. But if they start eating protein bars, like, I thought you're not supposed to eat protein bars.
Or the minute you drink a Diet Coke, oh, but the chemicals. And you drink a regular Coke, crickets, nothing.
Yeah.
Or I drink a tequila drink.
I have that written here.
Oh, really?
Diet sodas are better than regular soda. Or diet soda. The myth is that regular sodas are better for you. Real sugar is better for you.
Real sugar.
Real sugar has
grams.
More calories.
Yes.
Okay. No, the studies show and support that people who replace high calorie beverages with low calorie beverages lose and sustain weight loss at a much higher rate.
And you're living proof. You're in a deficit, correct?
Yes.
And you drink Diet Cokes.
Yes.
If Diet Cokes had any kind of calorie that was a lie, you wouldn't be losing weight.
Right.
So there you have it right there. Just that alone is proof.
But so there's studies, and if you don't, or you want to read the studies, go ahead. PubMed.gov. Search it up. Diet sodas. Also, artificial sweeteners. Don't trick your body into thinking it's eating sugar, therefore it stores fat. I've heard that too.
Oh, man. I've heard that so many
times. You should eat real sugar because artificial sweeteners trick your body.
Yeah.
They don't trick your body. There's no trickery going on.
No trickery, people. The only trickery is the trickery people are spewing out of their mouth.
Yeah.
Fake news again.
Fake news.
I love busting people's fake news myths or whatever's out in the world. It's nice.
I know. I swear, I've gotten all of these ones that I'm talking about, they're all questions that I've or comments I've received in like the past couple of weeks.
Keep doing that. Keep sending questions in, you guys. We'll keep busting these myths.
Yeah. Let me know, what have you heard?
What have you heard?
What have you heard that you want to know? Is it real or not? Is it true or not? Don't be embarrassed by it, because
I
want the information so that we can bust it or not. Maybe you might have heard something that'll be, you know what? That's actually true.
And listen, don't feel any type of way like we're trying to beat you guys down or make fun of you guys. We're just trying to educate you guys and inform you guys. That's all. We're just poking fun at all the myths out there.
Because I've it
heard
in
so many
way.
in the industry as bodybuilders. Listen, like back in the day, I was taught, you want to get big, you got to eat everything in front. You got to eat fast food, burritos. So I did all that. But guess what? I got fat. That was bro size. Because you know how hard it is to lose that? It's not that easy.
No.
The psychological factor. And that's the whole premise back then of bro science. Like, just get real big.
And then
pack
you
as much
cut.
Muscle, and then you trim it down.
Oh,
the trimming down is the hard part, you guys. The gaining weight's the fun part.
The trimming truth all that is, off. You do not have to put on a lot of body fat to gain muscle. You can absolutely gain muscle in maintenance, and even in a deficit, you can gain muscle. Yes, it's a little slower. Oh, my stomach is growling. Hope that Mike didn't pick that up. But even in a deficit, you can gain muscle.
So isn't one indicator of gaining muscle you're getting stronger, or is that another myth?
No, that's an indicator that you're getting stronger, because what happens is
you're building muscle. You're getting strong because you're building more
muscle.
It's
sending a message, right? Think about it like a message system.
Huh.
If you create a stimulus in your muscles and do something very hard,
yes,
then your body adapts. Our ability to adapt is amazing. Yes. Our body will be like, ooh, we want to make it so that the next time that Mike lifts that same weight, it's a little easier. So let's grow that muscle a little bit.
Yes.
And then you're like, huh, that was a little easier. So maybe you do a couple more reps. I'm like, damn, next time he does it, we're going to make it even a little more easier. And they'll, as long as you're consuming the protein and amino acids.
Yes.
So what happens is, when you create the stimulus and it was hard, you're doing that rep. So you feel it in your bicep, that burn.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting little like micro tears in your muscle. But it's sending the message to your brain saying, hey, we want to make it a little easier. So when it repairs those micro tears, it repairs it with the protein that you've consumed, the building blocks of your muscles, ever so slightly bigger.
Yeah.
And that's how your muscles grow. And it's ever so slightly bigger. So you keep pushing the boundaries, you keep pushing the limits, and they'll keep growing and growing.
Yeah.
And then if you stop using it for a while, it'll be like, oh, it'll shrink back down. You get muscle atrophy.
Yeah.
So your body adapts up and down. All the time. It's in a constant state of adapting up and down.
Man.
And speaking of that, is that those micro tears that I'm talking about, that's inflammation in your muscles.
Yes.
Workouts cause inflammation, which is what I'm going to end on. There are three things that are vilified, three words that are vilified in the weight loss, and not bad things all the time. It is cortisol. It is the word inflammation. And it is the word insulin.
Insulin.
Insulin's the fat storage hormone. Insulin is required to live, okay? We need our insulin. Our pancreas doesn't make insulin. You die without insulin. You have to inject it.
Yes.
Or you die. So it's not always a bad thing. Let's stop vilifying the word insulin. Inflammation is actually what happens when your muscles are tearing and they're rebuilding and all of that. Inflammation is a normal process. Yes, excess of any of these things I just mentioned, excess cortisol, excess inflammation, excess insulin, it's a problem.
Yes.
But they are all things we need to survive, to build muscle, to live a healthy lifestyle. So let's just stop automatically thinking those are bad and learn a little bit about them without thinking like, oh, cortisol is bad, so I shouldn't exercise because I don't want to raise my cortisol. No, cortisol during exercise is good.
Yeah. Same thing with cholesterol and stress. They get vilified as well.
Cholesterol is another thing. We need cholesterol.
We need it. You understand that, people? We do need it. It's not always all bad.
Yes. So anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Comment below with some myths that you want to know.
Yes.
Are we busting them, or are we saying they are real? I'd like to know for sure.
Yep.
Also comment on that relationship topic, because I'm truly curious about
people's mindset on that. Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody's different. Everybody has their own, you know, way of thinking.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the next one.